Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Oh yeah, your two favorite burnt out YouTubers are back. A couple of old has-beens.
Season two, babes.
Season two. That's how we're framing this frickin'
this podcast.
That's it. I'll get it out. We're going to call this season two. The truth is, we stopped for a while because we were too scared to talk about things because everything was very scary and everyone was so angry that we were like, we can't talk about anything here because this is too dangerous.
And it was just a big elephant in the room, so we just stopped because we couldn't talk about it and we couldn't not talk about it. We decided just to stop.
What a horrible fucking couple of years. So I don't want to start this on like on a downer. I don't want to be
a negative Nigel.
But listen, I mean, first we had Brexit. Everyone's divided over that, screaming and shouting at each other, hating each other. And then we had like COVID come along. And then we had Rufus pulling out his hair. And then we had my dad dying. And then we had lockdowns and all that stuff. And then we had told schools were shut. We couldn't go out. We couldn't see friends. And then we had like, now we've got World War III on the cards. And it's like, what's going on? Give us a break.
Well, Steph, you know how to start a podcast, don't you? List all the hideous things that's going to give everyone anxiety.
Yeah, no, but it's been a pretty brutal couple of years. But I think that's what we need. We needed like a little bit of a break from it because it was just, sometimes you're like, I don't know what to say about this anymore. I can't do this.
Yeah, and I think also trying to podcast with kids at home is just not feasible.
Yeah, so we're going to call this season two and we're going to come back.
We're coming in dry like we always do.
No lube, straight in dry. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to do this. Yeah, no planning. So I was saying to Hannah in the car the other day, how the last couple of years have felt for me is a bit like one of those sushi bars that you go to and you're waiting for the sushi to go along on the conveyor belt. But like, instead of nice juicy sushi, it's like horrible world events coming along. And the minute you finish digesting one, you've got another one coming along. And it's like, can we not have any more horrible world events, please? Can we just have like a nice chilled out cut summer, maybe, where there's no wars or like or COVIDs or anything or Brexit or anything or any of that crap?
Yeah,
wouldn't
it
be nice?
It's a lot.
Yeah, wouldn't it be? So what have we been up to the past, well, in recent times then, Hannah Mags? What's been going down in the Michalak town?
What's been going down? I feel like you're putting me on the spot here, Steph.
Well, what's been going down in Hannah world? What's going on with Hannah? What are you feeling? What are you doing these days? I'm getting people up to speed. I want to know what's going on.
I am planning another yoga course. So I did like an at-home retreat, for those of you who probably don't know, where it's like a yoga retreat, but all pre-recorded that you can do at home in your own time. There's like recipes and stuff in there. And I decided to do another one, which is all focused around the seasons of your period cycle. It's just try and help women know how to kind of manage, almost like a toolkit, I suppose, for like the month. So there'll be certain times of the month where you should have certain nutrients to boost energy, certain times of the month where you maybe want to take your exercise a little bit slower. So it's kind of, yeah, tailored around that.
So these courses have recipes, they have yoga, they have meditation, they have kind of a plethora of different tools, don't they? Like a load of different things in there.
Yeah. So I don't know what to call it yet, though. I don't want to call it like period yoga or something like that, but it needs to be something about your cycle. But then I don't want to like, that's ugly, isn't it?
Flow through your flow. There you go.
It's not bad.
There you go. Got it. So what's been going down with me then? I've just got back from Belfast, sorting out my dad's house, working on a video of that. which I filmed going out there to sort out my dad's things, which wasn't actually as traumatic as I thought it was going to be. I got through that without... My sister brought a load of Valium with her, and she's like, well, if you need some Valium, then I've got it. And I was like, I'm going to try and do this without anything. So I did it without anything. I think I had diazepam and Valium on the backup, but I didn't need any of it and just did it. And then on the way back, which was dropping me off the airport, I was like, oh, by the way, can I have a couple of those Valiums? Can I go back and be with my kids now? So I'm probably going to need them. But she was like, oh, I've left them back at home. So yeah, she the place we were staying, the Airbnb. So I didn't get them. But it was fine, man. It was okay. I think I've got a bit post-traumatic stress from it. So I'm a bit skew-iff now in terms of where I'm at, but I'm getting back into like things like cold dips and jiu-jitsu and all my gym and stuff like that to try.
I think it's really
out.
Easy, isn't it, when you feel in a good place to kind of, the first thing that slips is all of these little rituals and things that you do to make yourself feel good when you're already feeling good.
Yeah,
so it's true. Really hard to stay in the routine and keep kind of like consistent with those things when you already feel good.
Yeah, so there's that. I've got this really toxic relationship with this new NFT thing, which was the last video that
we did
on our channel.
I do not want to talk
no,
about
we don't NFT. Have to talk about NFT. You've had enough of hearing about me talking about NFTs, and if anyone wants to hear about it, I've done a couple of videos on it. I've done a video on my own like kind of personal channel all about projects that I'm into, and also done one on the Mitch Chats channel where I just talk about NFTs as a whole. But I won't go into it here because it's a whole separate podcast, which Hannah would not want to be involved in any way.
I don't mind. It's just I've heard it all before.
Yeah. Well, you've heard everything I have to say to you multiple times. I've got no fresh material.
No, I haven't. You told me a new story the other day, I've forgotten it now. But you did tell me something new the other day and I was like, oh, new material.
I like it when that happens, don't you? When you come up with something fresh. Yeah. Because sometimes I'm coming out with something or the person's telling you an old anecdote and you kind of like, you have this kind of
obligation
to listen to it because the person looks like really excited about the story, about telling the story.
Was doing that exact thing the other day, and I in my head when I started telling you, I was like, I've already told him this like four times over like 4 years.
But then you've heard this four times, then
you know when you're halfway
all,
through
it?
As well and you're like, well, I can't stop now.
Yeah. But then you've got to try and be really enthusiastic about the story, like, oh really, oh, and you got to try and put this face as if like you're really surprised at what happens, but you know everything that happens. Yeah. that's one of the negatives about being hold back stories. That's what I'd say, like, just save a few once you're in a long-term relationship. Yeah, just save a couple up, or just, I don't know how you can do it, like ration them.
Ration your stories.
Ration the old stories. Keep it fresh, otherwise you're just coming out with the same old shit over and over again.
That's fine.
Do you remember the time we had my late dad over for Christmas and we just wrote down loads of anecdotes which we knew he was going to tell us?
Yeah.
And we had them in our pockets the whole time, and every time he said one of them we took out the notes from our pockets and said, look, there's that old anecdote, we've all got to do a shot now.
No, it was just you and me doing tequila shots.
Yeah.
Behind the washing machine. Yeah. So, that was the best roast I ever cooked after drinking all that tequila.
It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes when you have a little bit of alcohol, it sort of loosens you up and makes you a bit more creative in terms of cooking and stuff like that. I always think, like, I remember this one time, I don't know, I've probably told you this millions of times before as well, but it was one of my birthdays. I can't remember which one it was. I've heard so many of the bloody things right now. But
a lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It was one of my birthdays and we all went out and got really drunk. When me and my mates, we went out in Clapham, we all got really drunk, and I was in this pub and I thought, God, I'm on fire tonight. I thought I was the best version of myself after a few drinks. Had a camera with me, I was filming a bits and bobs from that evening. The next day I thought, geez, I was so on fire last night. I was just such a charismatic, funny guy. Everyone was loving my chat. I looked back at the footage the next day and I have never been more mortified at how awful I was. And it's just funny.
Why,
because
what were you doing that was awful? I was just being really obnoxious.
Just obnoxious. Sometimes you get drunk and you get all like obnoxious, but you think you're being really funny and interesting, but you're just not. You're just being awful.
I remember you being like that on our wedding day. But I was sober because I was pregnant. And I remember you being really obnoxious. And I remember me being like, get out of that swimming pool now, otherwise I'm not marrying you.
Certain drinks as well do that. Certain drinks have different effects. Like my sister, she should never drink vodka. And you are dangerous on gin.
Dangerous. I don't really drink gin anymore.
You thank God. And I do
sometimes fancy a little G&T, but I just feel like it's such a... I don't know, it's just so strong, isn't it?
Yeah, and like whiskey.
It's not really a drink that you like sip and enjoy. Well, you can sip and enjoy it, but I don't know. It's just...
Gin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, gin's the only drink that you can't really drink straight. Everything else you could drink straight, but not gin. Gin is repulsive straight. I think gin...
We don't really drink that much anymore anyway.
No, we've cut down, haven't we?
Yeah.
Turned into...
It's weird because whenever we do a month where we don't drink... Mentally, I feel so good.
Mm.
I feel so, so good. But I do notice now on the months where we are drinking, or the months where we're not drinking, that I don't really ever miss it. Mm. I don't look forward to it at the weekends or anything. Like, I just don't really, I'm not really interested. But then when we do have the months when we're drinking, I'm like, yay, wine.
Well, we were walking around town yesterday and I was just thinking, oh, we should stop for a pint. And it was Monday. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm such an all or nothing guy. Like, it's either I'm drinking every day or I'm not drinking at all. I wish I could be in the middle and be like, I'm not that or this. It's the inherent need to label yourself as something. Oh, I'm like teetotal or I'm a drinker.
Yeah.
I want to do both of them amazingly. I want to drink every day or like be deathly sober and not touch anything. Yeah. But I've just realized one of my pictures in my office is crooked and that's going to really piss me off. Till I straighten it, but I can't be bothered to get up now and straighten it, so I'm just going to leave it there, irritating me. So yeah, I've nearly finished a video of us of the Northern Irish trip. I've got to sort of finish that off, but it's I'm trying not to make it sad, because going to visit my late dad's house sounds like quite a sad video, but I'm trying to make it happy. So I've drafted in a bit of old Tom Rosenhall, because he's the absolute best at the kind of happy sad vibe. Like his music is kind of,
it's very emotive,
it's happy but deeply sad at the same time, if you know what I mean. And that's what I love about it. It sounds a bit like his vocals are quite fragile, not his lyrics and stuff like that.
It's a very clever way of writing when you can make somebody feel something like that.
It skirts the line between sadness and joy so delicately, and I love that about it. So I'm just gonna, I'm literally like, I have the ad revenue. I don't care. Like, make,
do you know what I don't understand? How content creators these days, this is a genuine question, how do they create so much across so many platforms?
They're younger, we're slowing down, but our like, old age.
Even YouTube has stories now, and like then you got to do like Instagram, all of those faces on Instagram, and it's just like, how do you have time to I mean it helps if you don't have children, I suppose, but like, how do you have time to do all of that?
I think
like,
people are quite methodical and they
have a strategy.
They approach it with a lot of strategy.
Yeah, see, I've just like, never had that kind of brain.
Three reels a day or whatever, and one story a day and one grid or whatever, and they just know each day what they need to do. And it's and then a lot of people as well have really tuned into the algorithms, and they know how to play with what algorithms are doing.
I wish I had that type of...
They dive into the statistics, they look at all that
work
crap.
Work mentality. Like, I literally just post blindly, organically.
Yeah, I know, me too.
And that's all I do.
Yeah, some people are really strategic about it.
Yeah, I wish I was.
They follow hashtags to know what's trending and what's going on. It's like, yeah, it's just the way it is. Like, it's just that's what's happened with the market.
I think it's because we were there at the beginning doing this type of work. That's just not how I work. And that's not how it used to be. So it's like, I find it hard to change my mindset with that.
Yeah.
Almost feels like you're tricking people if you're using all the tricks, you know?
I know. And there's something about like, you know, an older person trying to be down with the kids, which just is so like
tragic.
Deeply tragic, I always think. You know what I mean? When you're desperately trying to do all the trendy stuff when you're like, when you're over 30, but you're still trying to do all the trends. You know, it's a bit like...
I'm not old.
No, I'm not saying you're old, but like in terms of like for this production, it's, you know, it's all about the Gen Zs now. You know, we've got to move aside for those guys. They're all the ones coming through. And us old has-beens are the ones just whinging about it all, complaining and stuff like
that. It
does
feel like you get to a certain point, don't you, where you're just like, oh, back in the day, it was much better.
Yeah, yeah. Proper roasted. Well, I mean, for us, it was. Back in the day, it was financially way better. And then it just became saturated, and now it's like, ah!
But I feel like that even in terms of like...
swimming
pool,
everyone's just jumped in because they're like, oh, that swimming pool looks nice. Let's all jump in. Now you're like, hang on, guys. There's not enough room for everybody in here. Get out. You're ruining it now.
I feel like even in terms of like childhoods and stuff, though, now I'm like, God, I'm so glad I didn't have iPads and phones and Instagram. And I'm so glad none of that existed when I was a teenager. Because it would have been a total different experience.
Yeah, because... there's that, I feel really bad because like there's some people now, I think one of the girls that we sort of, I've never met her, I don't know her, but she was signed with the agency we were signed with for a while, but she has been taken off the agency now because of an old problematic tweet from when she was in her teens. And I kind of had a lot of element of empathy for people like that, because I just think like, God, the shit that would come out of my mouth when I was a teenager. Imagine if something was there to catch it. Imagine if there was a big net that caught all the shit that you said. Well, not really you. I don't think you were that bad. But as a boy, when you're trying to be a bit edgy, you're trying to be cool, you're trying to say edgy
trying
stuff.
Too hard.
You don't really know yet. You've not calibrated to like what is too far and what's not too far. And you're just trying to be cool and edgy. And you say some stuff and it's really problematic now. But at the time, it was just like some dumb thing to say. And then they pull it like 10, 15 years later, somebody finds it. And you're like, oh my God, I said this when I was a child. And you're held accountable for stuff that you said then. And people do not forgive these days. The weird thing is like somebody digs out an old problematic tweet that you said many years ago. That will literally define you from then on. Because they'll be like, oh, that's that person. The guy or girl who did that thing.
Mm.
They will forget all the good shit that you did, if you did any good shit. But they just remember that one really bad thing. And it follows you around like a stink. So I think this girl who we were signed with, she's not uploading anymore. She's like, I can't do this now. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm always scared that I'm going to wake up one day. And I don't think I'm big enough or relevant enough for anyone to give a shit about anything I said in my life anyway. You know what I mean? It would be like, nobody would care. I'm not popular enough even to have haters. I want some haters. Please hate me.
Shall we talk about a couple of recommendations? I feel like we're both going to want to recommend the same thing. That we watched recently.
What was that one?
Euphoria.
Oh, the first season was
amazing.
Yeah,
the first season. First season of Euphoria.
I had to give up.
The second season was a bit
lost.
Wet,
it was a bit wet,
it?
Yeah. You carried on with the second season, but I was just like, I don't
I finished it, but just because I wanted to finish it. Also, I just really like Zendaya.
I think it was a bit, at the start, I was a bit like shocked.
There was a lot of sex in
about
it.
About the amount of cocks I was seeing and boobs. And I was a bit like, it became a bit gratuitous almost. It was a bit like...
another sex scene. Like, do they really need this sex scene?
Do I really need to see this teenage boy's penis? Like, I don't, you know, this is what I want to do with my evenings. Looking at boys' penises.
But I mean, when we first started watching it, like, I'd say maybe like the first 5 or 6 episodes, the cinematography is just...
oh my God.
Divine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just beautiful. I don't know. It's just watching something in that format, in a series format, and seeing that type of real creative eye.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. You could watch it alone just for the cinematography and the lighting.
Yeah.
The lighting was insane. I think it's funny because lighting is always something that I really notice in films and series now, because it's so hard for people to get that right when it's not a natural light.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
God, that's such an art, because it changes the whole vibe of a scene, doesn't it?
The cinematography is worth watching the first season for alone. It is absolutely beautifully filmed. Some of the shots that they have as well, we had to actually stop and rewind because the choreography is just impeccable. The way they've kept... sometimes you just know the amount of thought process that would have gone behind.
Like, there's a couple of scenes where the camera just doesn't stop rolling, but you kind of follow a character and it goes through. It can go through like a building and outside and into cars, and you're just like, whoa, they would have actually had to like choreograph that.
I have such a level of appreciation for that when they do that, when they carry along a shot like that.
And you're waiting for the cut. You're like, this can't be, they can't have not cut.
There are lots of clever tricks that they can do when they go past lampposts and stuff, and they'll use that as a cut, but or whatever. But even regardless, when they do it, it just seems like...
Seamless.
And it seems like they put a lot of passion into a shot like that, rather than just be like, okay, let's get the job done. So yeah, I really appreciate it. But yeah,
the casting was really good as well. Like the people that they cast were realistic and I just think they did a really good job with like the mum in it and
Yeah. So, you know, I would kind of recommend it, but I kind of wouldn't at the same time. It's one of those things where it's the first season, if you want to watch something that's beautiful, then it's worth watching. But it's the second season, just awful.
Yeah, just recommend the first season.
Yeah.
There you go.
What other recommendations have we got? I don't really have any. We've kind of lost at the moment. We haven't really got anything we're watching.
We need a show, don't we?
We need a really good show. Maybe the Mitchell accent, maybe old Mitchell videos.
I do find that like I'll go through phases of having like three really good books on the go, two really great TV series, and then all of a sudden when it all finishes, I'm like, oh no, what do I do in the evening? And and then it takes me ages to find anything that kind of measures up again.
It's quite good for me because I'm getting back to jiu-jitsu now because there's nothing really to do other than
I do find though that when we have those periods where we don't have a show or a book or anything, that we both end up being more creative or just more active.
I went climbing for the first day the other day with my good friend Jason, who's done a podcast with me before, and that was fun. But what the most interesting thing about that session was just seeing how incredible human beings are. When you look at some of these walls, which is like the size of a house, basically a flat wall the size of a house, and then you've got these couple of little tic-tacs like stuck to it, and that's what people climb up, and some of them it just looks impossible. You're like, humans are amazing that we can
what
do
is
this.
That called, you know, people do it, I think we watched a documentary
Free
on
solo.
It once
There's a film
where
that.
Yeah, that guy literally climbs up mountains with nothing.
You couldn't watch it, could you?
I had to keep looking away. It was I don't know what it was about. I don't know if it's because I've got sons, but we're like watching this guy climbing a cliff face with no harness or helmet or like anything. I was just like,
that's what you're like every time you watch the kids climb a tree.
Shut up.
The way you reacted to that. Like, God, they've got no harness on. But we had a great day the other day. We had a really nice weekend, didn't we? We went away to such a beautiful
Hive Beach in Dorset.
Hive Beach in Dorset. It's so lovely, isn't it? It's such a beautiful part of the UK.
Yeah. It's got that. Do you know what I really like about it? It's got my perfect texture of sand.
Oh, really?
It's like
stones.
Yeah, but they're like really small stones. Like there's that texture of sand that I really like, because when you have kids with sandy feet, it's so much easier to get it off than like the actual like small sand, and it feels really nice and it exfoliates your feet.
It's just great to go somewhere where there's just like, it's just so undercomplicated and so simple, and we always have the best time when it's simple. Anytime we do anything, anytime we go anywhere, if it's simple, like a park or woodland or something, or just in anything that's simple, it works really well.
Yeah, it's funny, I was saying to you, even if we'd booked a table at a pub or something, it would have then complicated it because we would have been rushing to get there, and it would have kind of taken the spontaneity out of it. It's nice being able to go somewhere and just be a bit spontaneous.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Not having to like book if you just want to go for one drink in a pub. God, do you remember that? You would have to book to go for like a drink, but then you could, after COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could only stay for like an hour and then you had a meal and...
Yeah. God, I think a lot of people still got PTSD from the past couple of years. I really hope, like, just to go...
Some things I've just forgotten, but I think it's because my brain's just blocked it out.
You know what, though? The one saving grace about the current conflict that we have with Ukraine and Russia is that we're not yet been divided over it. There's not division. Like, everything else that happens, the big world events, there's this kind of weird division that happens with all the world events, where things are divided. And currently, I can almost see the machine working and trying to find the division, but not being able to, because everyone's on the same side.
Nobody wants a war.
Mm. Not with a nuclear power. Holy shit, no. And this is why I was saying to you before, it's like a zero-sum game. Like, you cannot. And everyone's like, well, you can't let them bully. And it's like, yeah, you can if they've got fucking nukes. We cannot. The way I see it is just we have to all help as much as we can, open our doors and let as many people in as we can to help them. Of course, you know, give them all the support we possibly can, but we cannot go to war. We cannot have World War III. I will go out there and I will protest if I have to for anti-war. It seems weird. I'm so upset with humans in a way that we're so stupid that we build these machines that can basically just kill us all. It's like, I don't get this. Why have we built these massive, great big nuclear warheads that are designed to kill as many humans as possible? It's like, this seems like a weird thing for us to do now. But then I get it, because if somebody does it, you have to do it.
Well, it's a power thing, isn't it?
If somebody has a weapon, yeah. You have to have a weapon. It's like, oh, but it's like, these are just too big now. So I'm just hoping that we can... I think
everybody's hoping for no war. I don't think anyone actually wants a war.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's not talk about the war.
No, but I think we've just got to put our opinion out there on it, and say
it's
that.
Funny because I like doing what we do on Instagram, like being content creators on Instagram. I always have this level of guilt for not wanting to talk about current global events, because it feels like you almost do feel like you have an obligation to not to educate, but just to like have an opinion. But I just feel like I'm always been one of those creators that I'm actually a really private person, which seems really weird to say, but like I don't want to have my opinion everywhere about everything all the time. Like I want to create content that's like escapism content, you know, stuff that like people can just forget what's going on in the world, or forget what's stressing them out, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but
I don't feel the need to like add my
but the thing opinion. Is that there is this kind of, sometimes with something global event will happen, you're almost given a template, you're almost given like what to say.
Yeah,
you go, Hannah, say that thing, that's what you need to say.
Yeah.
And everyone, you can just see everyone around you doing the same thing that's been reworded, and it's like, this kind of feels really performative, that it's not coming from us and it's coming from like a sort of something that we've been told that we should say. And it's like, I think it's that kind of frustrates me.
It's not like not wanting to help,
but it's knowing
with
the right
voice
way
that
to
you
help.
Have, but it's not knowing the right way to word things or what you can actually do to help, you know what I mean, in a sea of people that are all churning out the same.
And I don't like it when I really vexes me when I see people like almost signaling that they just want to signal something, like they're obviously virtue signaling over an event, and it's like, do you really care about this fundamentally? Do you really care about this, or do you want everyone to think that you care about it? And that really upsets me.
But then a lot of the time I don't think people actually know or realize that there's a difference.
You reckon?
Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. I always think people that listen to you and really like you should always know that what they're hearing from you is genuinely from you. And it's from, and not from something, you know, from a well-formed opinion. And the problem is that
you can't form a well-formed opinion in a short space of time.
Yeah.
You have to,
of course, you need a long
have
time.
Been able to like read around it and read different opinions and not just be having that like echo chamber.
Yeah.
Not that, like, obviously for the current situation, that's not a thing, but, like, to be able to form an opinion, you need to first actually have a fully formed opinion.
And the problem is, like, for me, I genuinely class myself as a massive fucking dummy. Like, I'm not smart. So my opinion, I don't think, it's probably going to be wrong, but there is no objective truths in life, so who knows if it is wrong or right. What is wrong or right, you know? So it's just difficult to kind of put something out there and say something and be like, well, this is how I feel about it, but also a caveat to that is I'm normally wrong in life, so this could easily be wrong, you know? It's very difficult to know when you don't trust yourself and you don't trust your own opinions. You've got, you know, if you truly need to be open-minded, you need to be open-minded to every single different opinion out there, because they're all valid to the person who has them. You know, and you have to, it's difficult to know. It's just, I think it's just, we're in this really bizarre place right now in terms of where everyone's at. I think everyone's still a bit shaken after COVID. Everyone's a bit unsure about what the future is in terms of what the conflicts are going on. The financial system's all a bit of a mess. People are just like, okay, what's going on? I think there's this underlying kind of anxiety that people have. Which, and I genuinely feel, and that sounds a really stupid thing to say, but I genuinely feel that we are all far more connected than we actually think that we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all share some sort of underlying frequency that is just kind of, it's almost like a global underlying frequency, whereas everyone's feeling something.
Mm.
They can't quite pin what it is, but it's
a
displacement.
There isn't really a word to describe it. Because it's more of a feeling, right?
Yeah, of course.
But there is no label for that particular feeling.
Yeah, exactly that. It's some sort of frequency that we're all tuned into. And I think that makes it difficult for a lot of people right now, because everyone romanticizes about like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe. Look at how we felt then in general, as, you know, we had our ups and downs and stuff like that. But in general, there wasn't the same kind of feeling that there is now. I don't know, maybe this is just something that I'm feeling, which isn't shared amongst lots of other people. But I think there just seemed to be a bit of a spike in terms of people where they're at with their mental health right now. And yeah. I'm not surprised with what's been going down. Life suddenly feels more fragile than it ever did before, I think. Yeah. You know, and people are a bit more scared than they ever were before. I know I am. God, I'm terrified compared to where we were. Like, everything now feels really uncertain. And, you know, when you have kids, it's different because you kind of fear for them as well. You think, oh, God.
What kind of world are they going to be growing up in 10 years' time?
And what are you going to be inheriting from us? So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm trying to remain optimistic. And even with stuff like the video that we're working now on Dad, I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. And I'm always trying to pull out something good from shit. You know, I'm like, well, what can we
through the mud to find the gold?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm trying to do all the time. Trying to use it to pull out something good, you know, which is. Isn't always easy, but it's been a bit of a struggle right now. I think I've been using my phone more than I should, and I'm going to try and stop that. We had a talk about it the other night, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit too much phone usage, and I think that's having a really negative effect. And when I explained it to you, it made sense to me. When I was saying I use looking at my phone to escape certain things that I'm dealing with, as a quick escape from it, because it sucks me into something. And then
makes you forget about the emotion that you're carrying.
Yeah, exactly that. And guilt. Grief. I'm not guilty about anything, Anna, I promise. grief puts on different costumes, doesn't it? It puts on different costumes and tricks you. And it comes in one day, it's like, hey. And you're like, oh, who are you? Oh, I'm just a bit of anxiety or a bit of depression.
And you're
you're not grief. You look a bit like grief. Nah, not grief. You've dealt with that a long time ago. But it is. It's just dressed up differently. Yeah.
I think when I see you going through these little patches where you're not truly feeling yourself or feeling like the best version of yourself, I can see it more objectively because I have been through grief, and I've been through grief, proper grief, 12 years ago. So I feel like I've completed all the stages that you go through. So I can objectively recognize them in you. So when you're saying, oh, I'm stressed about X, Y, Z, or I'm stressed about work or whatever, I'm like, are you really though? Or is that your grief trying to cling on to something to tell you that it isn't grief? It's this that's making you upset. It's not this. Therefore, you don't have to deal with the grief, if that makes sense. It's like your brain almost trying to protect you when actually it's you need to sit with that feeling and like just let it consume you for a bit and deal with it that way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think like they say there's different stages of grief, and one of the stages is like denial. And it's funny, it doesn't come in sequential order. Sometimes it can pop in any different order.
And that's you being like, I'm fine. I've dealt with it. Yeah, I'm good. I'm great.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm always asking denial, you, how are you? And you're like, I'm great.
I always
in a really high pitched voice.
Denial of the death is like, no, they're not dead. No, they're not dead. It's been a misunderstanding. But I don't think that is necessarily what denial represents.
More denial of the grief itself.
Exactly that. And the sooner you can acknowledge it and be like, oh, it is that, you're just dressing up as something else, the more you can deal with it. You know what I like about our podcast, Hannah Mags, is that they are like a little miniature therapy. Like, when else do we talk like this about these things in this way?
Well, we do, but I guess not so linear, you know? Like, there'd probably be little pockets in the day where we'd talk about something.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than...
Yeah. I've just looked at the clock and it is 2 minutes to one.
It's time for you to go
to the
gym.
I've told Philly I'd go and lift some weights with him.
Cool. Should we round up?
So I've got to round this up. But thank you so much for watching, everybody.
Thanks, guys, for coming back, if you came back.
it's been fun. We're going to try and do these weekly again. Yeah. So please tune in next week for more.
Let us know on Instagram or any other platform that you might follow us on if you have any topics or ideas that you want us to chat about, rather than us just going in dry and just chatting about ourselves, which is what we always do because we never learn.
Yeah.
Let us know if there's anything that isn't like a really heavy, serious topic, please, because I can't cope with that. Let us know if you've got any ideas, and we'd love to cover some of those.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks for listening. Take care. Peace out.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.